Good afternoon, and welcome to the OCB alumni business meeting. We're about 10 minutes into the 11:30 part of it. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce myself and get started with the meeting. On the agenda, there will be a reading of the secretarial report from our spring convention. There will be a treasurer's report, and then there will be an election. And then after that, there will be, when the lunch is going around, people can talk to one another. But I think maybe what we'll also do is have Mike talk a little bit about what's going on with OCB. So without any further ado, my name is David Jackson, and to my right,
Debbie Barry, your new secretary.
And is Richard Fell in the room? Fell is, okay. Okay, Richard, since you've just done that, why don't you come on up here? While Richard is getting settled here, let me go with the Spring Convention report. OCB minutes. The meeting was called to order by President David Jackson at 11:45 a.m. on October 14th. April 14th, 2007, at the Hilton Arden West Hotel in Sacramento, California. Introductions were made, minutes were read and approved, treasurer's report was not given due to absence of treasurer. Speaker was Mike Cole, administrator of OCB. Meeting was adjourned at 1 p.m. Respectfully submitted, Barbara Cron, Secretary Pro Tem. Are there any corrections, additions to these meetings? Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? All right.
This is Debbie, your new secretary, and for the record, I had forgotten that the business meeting started at 11:30, and so I would, for the record, I would like to thank Barbara for taking over for me this last time since I wasn't here, and that won't happen again as long as I'm your secretary.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, not a whole lot has happened, obviously, in the year. I opened up a P.O. box for us. So we now have a P.O. box that hopefully if anybody's so inclined to pay their dues, they want to send it out, I can give you the P.O. box address and all that kind of stuff, I think, if I have it. And last March the 5th, I made the dues payment, which was one. What was it? I can't remember what it was. Remember what it was? I just had it and I lost it. I think it was 192, but I'm not sure. I'll have to double check again, okay? Also, the P.O. box was $108 for the year. I did a lot of research to try to find the P.O. box that would be reasonable. Most people wanted $45 for 3 months. I don't think so. So we got that taken care of. So we have the P.O. box. I do have an email if anybody wants to email me for any reason. That's Richard ISP@Verizon.net. ISP@Verizon.net. Okay. And not a whole lot really to report. And I think the one thing, I don't know if this is the right forum for it, but I'd like to propose hopefully that we could get these dues raised if we're going to do anything of any value with any of this money. I'd like to see some sort of a direction for it. At this point in time, there is no real direction, so we're going to try to address those issues. And that's basically all I have to say at this point in time. Yeah. I do. I happen to have a balance. In the checking, in the actual checking account, it's $428.48. Okay. The savings is $100.19. There's really no interest in that. Right. Well, we won't go there, will we? Now, a total balance between the two is $528.67 as of October 10, 2007.
P.O. box at this time.
Oh. Well, partly because it had something to do with the bylaws. And more importantly, I would prefer not to have to give my personal home address and everything to the organization unless absolutely necessary. But because it is running as a business, we have to have a P.O. box.
Thank you.
We've never had that before. So I thought, where is that in the bylaws?
Well, I spoke to Ed Branch, and that was where that came from. Okay? We have to have somewhere to send correspondence. If there's people that want to send their dues or any contributions, there's got to be a place to send it. And because it's a business. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not going to be that way. It is a business, and I'm not willing to make my home the business.
Are there any other questions?
Well, certainly.
This is Donna Sanchez. I'm treasurer of the California Council of the Citizens with Low Vision, and I have the dues sent to my house. These organizations, groups, are not businesses. We're an organization for the blind.
That's fine. I'm still not willing to relinquish my home address. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't get what he said.
That's what he was getting at was instead of having this like this, we could save the chapter $140-some-odd a year if you relinquished your home address.
Okay, listen.
One moment, please.
Listen, it's up to the organization, to the constituency. I'm willing to resign. It doesn't matter to me because look, I got a lot to do. Okay, I'm a very busy person. I'm volunteering my time as it is. There are certain things in business, if you will, that we do have to do as a business, whether it's CCB, whether it's any private business, whatever the case may be. This is a route that we've chosen to take, and I did that through Ed Branch, okay, and through the bylaws, and that's where it stands, and that's where it'll remain. And really, at this point, there's really not a whole lot of discussion because that's a decision I made through Ed Branch.
My name is Glenda Castle. And I used to be a treasurer of one of the affiliates, and I had a P.O. box, and there was no problem with it. The state chapter did not have a problem with, you know, sending the bank statements and, you know, whatever other information pertaining to the chapter to the P.O. box. So why is there an uproar? If that is his personal choice, where his mail goes to...
Okay, that's part of the reason that I'm proposing, A, not only just for the P.O. box, obviously. I have other ideas and some plans. We'd like to hopefully have some form of direction as to where we might take this chapter. I've somewhat spoken to Mike Cole earlier in the year. Mike, I don't know if you remember or not, but one of the things I'd like to see the chapter do is, in time, raise enough money to be able to do some good. We're members, we're alumni of the Orientation Center for the Blind. It would be my goal, hopefully, I'll be around long enough to see this come to fruition. And I'd like to hopefully eventually raise enough money through other speakers, bureaus, whatever, to raise money to donate computers, to get a good, solid computer program started at OCB. They gave to us. It's our turn to give back. And that's hopefully what I'd like to do.
Is there any more discussion?
Most of us have been in this organization for a long time, and we've relinquished our address now. If there is someone who doesn't wish to do that and they insist on a P.O. box, let them pay for it because right now we can't.
Okay. Do you want to call for the question? Do you want to have a P.O. box or not have a P.O. box? Would somebody present a motion? Is somebody wanting to do that? Because if not, then we'll keep it as such. Okay, is there a second to that? Okay, are you getting all of this, Debbie? A member of the...
Okay, if I may, David?
Go ahead.
Okay, the bank statement is currently coming to my home. That is the only thing that I will allow, only because it has personal and confidential information pertaining to our balances and all that type of stuff. But as far as like the dues and all that kind of stuff, I would prefer that my home address not be given out to anybody, as I want to run this as a separate business for the orientation center. For the blind alumni, and I don't have any problem with the fact that the bank statement comes, which it does. It comes directly to me as the treasurer, and as it should. But as far as for the constituency to mail the dues, we got to have somewhere for everything to go, and I certainly don't want to relinquish my home address.
Why don't we do this? Since we only really do collect dues in October, maybe what we could do, Richard, is rather than having a P.O. box, that we collect the dues once and they go directly into the bank whenever after the convention. That way we eliminate the P.O. box. We eliminate the business about any of this coming to your address except for the bank statement.
Well, I think first of all, I'm trying to work on a vision here, and that is to develop a means of fundraising. And if I'm able to develop that plan through communication with Mike Cole and David and myself and the other people that are actually here, I'd like to be able to keep that simply because we eventually are going to have correspondence and people sending money and all that type of stuff when they start developing the fundraising, and that's the purpose of the P.O. box. The P.O. box is still good until February 28th at this point, okay? We're going to have a P.O. box no matter what until February 28th because that's what it's paid through the year of 2008, February 28th. So we currently already have it paid for. It was paid in full. That's why I don't see the purpose of the argument. It's already paid for.
Okay. Is there... Is there any more discussion? Okay. Those in favor of retaining the post office box, the P.O. box, signify by saying aye. Well, okay. Okay, so all in favor of that motion where those bank statements do come to a member of an OCB alumni plus on the board, signify by saying aye. The home address.
Okay, sir, the bank statement is already currently coming to my
to
home.
To a member already.
All right, here's what I'd like to propose. Why don't we do this, okay? Let's table this issue till next year. And let me finish. Well, let's table this till next year. Let's finish the post office box until February 28th. I will then be in communication with David. We'll make a decision. We'll work within the constituency to determine what direction we'll go after that date. Because at this point in time, we currently already have the mailbox until the 28th of February. You currently all have the opportunity to pay your dues today. I'm here to collect them today. And then I will get a roster and make phone calls, and I will deal with it on an individual basis at this time. At this point, it might be behoove us to just go ahead and table this till the next opportunity to sit down and discuss it. I will not renew the P.O. box as of February 28th. How's that?
Can I move that motion be tabled? Okay. Then let's vote on this motion. Dirk, one more time. Go ahead and make your motion, and we'll go ahead and vote. Is there any more discussion? Now, correspondence could mean anything. So, is there any more discussion? Okay. People who are for this motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed?
No.
Okay. Obviously, are there any abstentions? Okay. Obviously, the ayes have this motion, and so that will happen. That we'll figure something out. We'll do this. Right. Well, no, the voice count was pretty. It was pretty much the way that it went in terms of the voice. I'm sorry, Connie. Right, that's correct. It's already passed. Yeah. Yes.
I got here a little bit late.
Okay. So is there any more discussion on this? Okay. All right. I'm making sure, Connie. Okay. We have an election that we need to take care of. Alan Ramos's term as vice president is up. So we have to vote on that. Alan, you can, if you want to run and be reelected, that's fine. But the proviso is that it's a year, and then you'd have to be reelected again, because by the Constitution, the even number year is when the board members are voted. So, with that said, would somebody open the nominations for vice president, please? Who? Is there a second? Okay. So, who other than Alan to run? Yes, Al. Do you want to run, Alan? Okay, that's fine. Okay, Alan, do I hear any other nominations for vice presidency? Do I hear any other nominations for Vice President? Vice President? Oh, okay. Okay. Didn't hear you. Okay, Alan, by acclamation, you are Vice President. You are still Vice President. Yay! Right. There is someone in this room who called. Is Roxanne here? Okay. Roxanne, just briefly, can you just mention to me or mention to the group what we kind of talked about?
I've been running in and out, assisting people in. Roxanne Stallings. Yes. No, I'm just an interested party because I'm an interested party because I live near OCB and I work close to OCB. And I work with people who are living at OCB and also at Living Skills Center for the Blind. I'm a psychotherapist. And I'm very interested in what's happening at OCB. I almost went there. I didn't, but I would very much like to see it stay open, and they're having very low enrollment. Is this what you want me to be talking about? Yeah. I'm not quite sure. Oh, all right. Well, okay. Well, I was interested in having you consider supporting kind of a research survey investigation, communications about what is currently going on at OCB and making some recommendations for change so that we can keep the center open. A month ago, they had an enrollment of 11 people. In July, I think they had 17, and some of the people were kind of being held over just to keep the enrollment up, but they weren't attending classes. I attended the BAC meeting last month at OCB. It was, I think, the 14th of September. And the BAC group tried to find out what was going on, and they weren't given information when they thought they were going to get it. So the BAC now is kind of challenging OCB to find out what's going on, and I think I'm getting a lot of information kind of locally from people going there or have had an association with OCB. They recently had a group of people living there who are doing SSI training, and the staff didn't want them there, so they kind of kicked them out. And it was an ideal place for them to get trained to live, so that. Pardon me? That's right. And that was the issue. There wasn't a sufficient amount of preparation and agreement going on, but they had all of this vacancy. They have all this staff. Last summer, the current cost per client was $80,000 per year because of the high cost of keeping the facility open with such a low enrollment. So I guess my concern is we need to find out exactly what's going on. It's a multi-level problem. It's not just one problem. And nobody's really coming up with identifying the key issues and or working on a solution for the key issues. So I just wanted to let you know that there's difficulty, and I'm hoping that you might consider banding together to act as your own advisory committee to solving these issues. Now, there's going to be a resolution coming through from the resolution committee, and you'll learn about it tomorrow morning. So I don't know if you want to know about that or not. Okay, sure.
Thank you very much. I want to make it clear, however, that we are an alumni association, and yeah, that's wonderful. I think it's great that we're all here, that we can all get together and see one another and talk to one another. And yes, we do have a lot of concerns, and yes, OCB has a lot of issues to deal with. However, we can make those views known to Mike, but we here cannot really make any real decision in terms of what happens at OCB. So by all means, however, you have the you can talk to Mike and let him know what those are. Mike, are you here still? Let me get you a mic. It's okay. They'll figure it out. Mic to mic. Mic to mic. There you go.
Well, hi everyone. Goodness, I have to say that the OCB that I go to work at every day doesn't quite resemble the one I just heard about. But in any case, let me just debunk a few things, because and I think David's right. I mean, this is an organization that is of alumni, but I don't want any misinformation floating around. Our enrollment never reached 11, though I won't deny that we wish our enrollment was higher. Tony, our deputy, would like us to average 27, and we're having a hard time hitting 27. But in and of itself, I mean, programs sometimes have down times. BEP is struggling this year to get enough referrals and enough people in. The truth of the matter is that OCB is in great shape in terms of program, and what I would like this organization to help us do is market OCB so that you direct people to us, and when you hear about things that we're trying to do, you, if you agree with it, you speak up. The fact is we're now at full strength in terms of teachers. We have a really terrific program going that I think has many facets to it now that many of you would probably really enjoy. For instance, there's, of course, 5 hours of Braille a week and mobility every day, and we've brought back the gym class. We also have, if you add what Shay does and Thomas does in high and low tech, there's 5 hours of that a week, and then we've been able to add more living skills in. So the program is in great shape to receive good applicants and good students. We're getting good representation, I think, from the districts, and we're meeting with supervisors to help tell the new staff, the new counselors, and there's quite a few of them in our division, about how to go about referring to all the programs, including OCB. But one thing that I think is kind of in the rumor mill that really is, I do think I'd like to address, is this idea that somehow there was some problem with having Social Security trainees with us. We were approached because a really good thing happened. The department was able to make contact with a couple of state agencies, and in the case of Social Security, a federal agency, of course, for trainings because they had actual job slots. And we were asked, and let me emphasize that, let me just say it again, we were asked to house at least a few of the folks, and that's all, just the housing. They would get their training through the Social Security Administration, or in one case it was the Franchise Tax Board, but they chose not to use us because the training was in Sacramento, so of course it would be silly to put people in Albany. But in any case, and we did that, and it was a very successful thing, as a matter of fact. We had some small reservations because it is apples and oranges, but we felt we needed to do our part to help some people get actual work, which did happen. There were two different groups of them, and they did their thing. And, I won't say it was without its ups and downs, but basically the price was right, and I think a lot of people, I think when it was all said and done, there's probably about 10 or 11 people in two different waves of them who benefited. And we were an option. And in fact, some people chose not to be at OCB, and some people didn't need to because they were local. I think that there was somebody who was unhappy, and I think a lot of things got said. And I think we have to be a little bit careful how these stories have a tendency to expand and so on. So
good news is that teacher.
Oh, sorry. It's really a funny microphone. You got to be right on it. So we have Thomas Franks in the computer lab and Linda Zagula, who is not only a longtime instructor of blind folks, but she's a chef, too. Worked for one of the big restaurants in the Bay Area for a long time. That class has got all sorts of things going on in there, and we're just really thrilled. Also, the students are doing a lot of... let me just share one thing with you from my point of view that is really a big help. Rudy was just asking me about our business manager. We were without one for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, but we recently hired somebody who really does know the bureaucracy and know how to get things done, and boy, are we ever thrilled. It means that we have more time to build the program and do what we are really hired to do. For the last 6 years, I've been the substitute teacher and the administrator and the business person, and frankly, it's great to have a business manager. Let's see. The questions that have come my way today, would you know OCB if you walked in? Yes, physically, it's the same, although if you haven't been there in a while, you might not know that we have those power doors, you know, in a few strategic locations. Our supervising cook, Eddie, is going to retire at the end of the year, and so we're scrambling to get him, get somebody behind him. Henry, yeah. Henry is still there. Shane, I think this is good information. Shane left us due to illness, and I think he has passed away. But we kind of lost track of him after he retired. But you know, there's a lot of people in state service who are going to retire all at once. There's a tremendous number of boomers that work for the state, and that's coming. Anyway, I don't want to take up too much of your time. It's a pleasure, as always, to be with you, and we really do appreciate your support, and just know that we're working real hard to do a good job. One other thing that Roxanne mentioned that I just want to put in perspective, because it's not there shouldn't be any feeling that something is being hidden or anything. There was a discussion, we understand, that took place at the Blind Advisory Committee. But it happened without me or Tony Candela in the room. I'm not even sure that our program manager was in the room, but I forget. I know that we were all out because they had to go to another meeting and having to do with the BEP trainees. So there was a discussion that was fed back to us afterwards, and I wish I had been there because I could have explained a few of the numbers that really were incorrect. And also, people have never been kept at OCB just so we could look more full. That it just isn't true. And without discussing people's individual situations, I think it's a kind of an unfair. I mean, anybody can say anything, and of course, even I can. So, but I just want you to know that we're not. We're doing the best we can right now, and there's a lot of competition out there. And we have a lot of new staff, and I don't mean OCB, I mean counselors who are just learning about referring people and stuff like that. So hang in there with us. I think that by the spring we will probably be able to report better numbers. We have, I think, between 6 and 10, depending on how serious all the applicants are, people on their way, just going through the process. And really, it's been a wonderful year for the people that have been there. I mean, us and them. And of course, as always, we love it when you come and visit. And when you do come, like David did, it's great to have you come to our class and talk about your life. The students really always find that very interesting. So I guess lunch has arrived, and I'll be happy to turn this back over to David, and it's good to be with you again. Thanks, everyone.
David?
Mike, don't give that mic up just yet.
Oh, okay.
What we'll do, I don't think everybody knows everybody in the room, so why don't you pass it to whomever you were sitting next to?
I'd also like to say something, especially apropos Richard's, not so much the post office box, that's a subject for this group. a thing that did come up for us was we really would like our own website, but that may be tricky to get because we're a state program. However, it did cross our minds that somebody could maybe sometime have a website, and we have a guy who's willing to do a freebie for us. And it couldn't help but cross my mind that if an entity that was not the state but had a lot to do with OCB had a website, for example, an alumni association, then it's quite conceivable that when somebody went Googling, they would stumble upon, the OCB. And I think it would be a great marketing thing and something that we should continue to talk about. We're doing the discussion. We'll always do something with the department because we, of course, are part of the department. But it could be that there'd be some way that we could have links and other friends that would help people find their way to OCB. And we would put interesting information on there. Of course, if it was an alumni association, it would have things on there. So something to think about. And I would like to begin the discussion of who's all here by handing this microphone to my old friend Dirk Neihardt, who's sitting next to me.
Hi, Dirk Neihardt, OCB. When I was treasurer, I did. Dirk Neihardt, OCB 2000. When I was treasurer, I did set up a website, and it got little advertisement from the executive board, little advertisement from OCB staff, and so with so few hits. Since $18 a month was coming out of my own pocket, I just shut it down. But perhaps another website developer could enjoy doing the same exercise again. Here's Yolanda.
I'm Yolanda Escondone.
I'm Rosemary Dobbs, and I went to the Orientation Center from June to December of 1970.
Albert Contreras, I went to OCB from about September through March of 1979 and found OCB to be quite a great experience for me.
Hi, my name is Rudy, and I went to OCB from May 6th to November 24th of 99. It was great.
My name is Bill Berry. I did not attend OCB. I was living in another state, but I like the people, and I like the lunch. So, thank you.
My name is Connie Gill. I wasn't blessed enough to go to OCB, but I consider myself a friend of OCB.
Al Gill. I was a counselor at OCB from December 79 to May 95.
Sandra Fantrott was at OCB September 1968 to May of 1969.
Oh, Sharon Benefield went to OCB in 1972.
Ellie Harmon in 1959.
Richard Harmon, I'm visiting.
I'm Doug Martin from San Diego, and I have not been there, but I'm enjoying the luncheon. Thank you.
I'm Glenda Castle. I never went to OCB, but I come here to support all my friends because most of them went to the Foundation for the Junior Blind, which is what I used to go to, so I support all of them.
Roxanne Stallings, you already heard from me, and I am a friend of OCB.
Donna Sanchez, I was at OCB from July of 2006 to July of 2007.
I am Alan Rink, Vice President of OCB Alumni. You guys just elected me. I was there from August 1973 to March 1974.
I'm Patty Davis, and I was there actually twice, from February of 71 to June of 71, and I was back from August 99 to December 99.
Here I am again, Dirk. It's the treasurer. This is Richard Feel, and I went to OCB in June of 75, got out in November of 75. And by the way, Mike, you guys have done a fantastic job, and there's a lot more to come, hopefully. And I have to tell you personally, I am out there in the field teaching JAWS on a daily basis, and I happen to see a lot of people that are making choices between the Davidson program, Living Skills Center, and OCB. And I always try really hard to get these people to go to OCB only because of the fact that when I went there, the services were unbelievable. The leadership, Mike, your leadership is phenomenal. And I tell them about you guys all the time. So hopefully we're getting some of those people there.
This is your president, David Jackson. I attended OCB in 1992 and partially part of 93. OCB was a wonderful place for me. I can't tell you how strongly I feel about it. The fact that it gave me a bunch of different avenues to travel, to regain my equilibrium in a world which was no longer friendly. The environment was no longer a thing where I could navigate. OCB gave me a footing. It gave me a home to regain all of that and much more. To see the OCB of now, I want to see that it stays as it is. I would like to see the services remain. It's too important to our community to lose. So I will make every effort to make sure that it stays and it becomes better. Thanks.
I'm Deborah, Debbie Berry, your secretary. And first of all, to go along with something that Richard just said, I lived in the South in Southern California, and when I graduated from high school, my counselor recommended that I go to OCB rather than the Foundation for the Junior Blind because she felt it was better. And I'm not down on any, you know, I think they're both good, and they both have different things to offer, but I am really grateful that I went up north. Because I learned a lot, especially regarding mobility. And one more thing, I went in June of 1972, right after I graduated from high school, and I didn't want to go in the worst way. I wanted to start college already. Well, when I left in January, I didn't want to leave.
Boy, talk about a ringing endorsement. Are there any other people who haven't spoken? Okay, with that... I'm adjourning. I'm going to go ahead. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting? All those in favor? Okay. Thank you.